I'd like to speak about a festival in the Jewish calendar year, which is coming up next week, which, although celebrated very much and very intensely in Eretz Yisrael, is celebrated less so outside of Israel. But nonetheless, whether we celebrate it or not, the day, the impact of the day, the spiritual message is found wherever we may be. And therefore, I feel it's important to speak about Lag BaOmer, the 33rd day of the Omer, and to perhaps try to get a certain understanding, a certain appreciation of what Lag BaOmer is all about. In source 1, we have an interesting insight of the Beis Aron that says that Kol Mi Sheyesh Lo Emuna B'Rashbi, anyone who believes in the power of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, the famous individual who we know spent 12 years, ultimately 13 years in a cave with his son, immersed in the study of Torah and writing the famous Zohar, which is the Kabbalistic aspect of Torah. And Lag BaOmer celebrates the day that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai died, it's the Hilula of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, and the day of his death, the day when he was taken from this world, he revealed a tremendous amount of the secrets of the Torah. And the day of death is really a day of celebration, because it's a celebration of all that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was able to give over to us, the whole Zohar, the whole Pnimiyos, those secrets of the Torah that we have until today. So therefore, continuing in 1, that Kol Mi Sheyesh Lo Amuna B'Rashbi, one who has faith in Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Yesh Lo Chizuk B'Rashbi, who holds by the strength and of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, and is strengthened by him, Kishem Shashem Yisparach Hu Hashem Lakol, just like God is the God of everybody, Kach Rashbi Hu Rashbi Lakol. Very interesting relationship here. That just like God is the God of everybody, so too Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai has this all-encompassing relationship with everybody. Afilu Lapchutim, even to the lowlife, even to the people who aren't such great people. We need to understand, what is this about Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai? What is this relationship that, if any of you have ever had the opportunity of being at Meiron all year, and more particularly and more intensely on Lag BaOmer, you'll know that it's not one sect, one group that is drawn to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, but it's rather what we call in Israel Amcha, the regular person. There's something about Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai that draws everybody to Meiron, everybody to have this connection with this individual. And we need to understand a little bit more deeply what this is all about. Likewise, we know, and if you've ever been in Israel, like for Omer, right in America, they take the kids out usually on a field day trip. But in Israel, there's a tremendous emphasis on making bonfires, medirot, the night of Lag BaOmer. Once Pesach is over, you see these little kids dragging pieces of wood. It's like the hot commodity in Israel. And they, you know, store it away in their little corner where they're going to build their bonfire. We need to understand, what are these bonfires that are made on Lag BaOmer? What is their significance? What are they all about? Further, we know that every week of Sfiras HaOmer corresponds to one of the different ways that God interacts with the world, what we refer to as midos, as a certain dimension that God interacts with the world, the interaction of chesed, of kindness, of gvura, of strength, and there are 7 in total. The 5th week is the week of Hod. Hod can be translated into many levels, but usually as glory. We need to understand, what is this glory that is connected with this 5th week of Lag BaOmer? And we also know that each of the 7 weeks parallels one of the 7 Shvizim, those special heavenly guests that come to our Sukkah. So the first week is Avraham Avinu, and we understand that Abraham
corresponds to the first of these seven emanations of Chesed, which is the first week of Pesach. And just working it through ourselves very obviously, we know that the whole concept of Pesach, the Aramaic translation, is that of Chesed, of kindness, the kindness that God did. Avraham Avinu is the personification of Chesed. The seventh week, my friends, is David HaMelech, which is the concept of Malchus, of kingship, which clearly connects to the Shavuot and receiving of the Torah. The fifth week corresponds to the fifth of Yushpizin, who is Aaron HaKohen. And we need to understand the relationship between Lag BaOmer, this fifth week, with the whole week really has this characteristic of Lag BaOmer, of Hod, of Aaron HaKohen. We also, to just add to our questions before beginning, this week's parasha is Parshas Emor. And in Parshas Emor, we have, at the end of the parasha, a list of all the festivals of all the holidays. And after we have a list of all the holidays, we have the laws, the source too, of keeping one light lit in the menorah for the entire, instead of lasting 12 hours like all the other candles, it lasted 24 hours. This is the Ner Tami, the eternal light. The next mitzvah is the mitzvah of Lechem Apanim, how the bread was placed, was baked on Friday, was placed on the showbread table, and then taken out the following Shabbos, and it was fresh, as if it was baked that day. And then we have the story of the Mekalel, a man whose mother was Jewish, whose father was not Jewish, who went out in the camp and cursed God, and he was ultimately put into a jail system and ultimately killed. And Rashi Chazal asks, what is the connection between the laws of the holidays, of the eternal lamp, of the showbread, and this individual going out and cursing God? So the Arsprol Stor Chumash in English brings two interpretations. One is he was making fun of this showbread. Is this the way you treat a king? That you give him, you know, 9-day-old stale bread? He couldn't understand it. He was mocking the system of Lechem Apanim and therefore cursed God. And the second interpretation is that he wanted to put his tent in the tribe of Dan because his mother was from the tribe of Dan, Shlomi Sfat Divri. And the tribe of Dan said, you don't belong here. It's Lebed Abotam. It goes by the father. Your father's an Egyptian. You have to go with the converts. And he got angry about this, and he cursed God. And we need to understand a little bit more deeply what was this issue of the Mekalah. To be able to understand what Lag BaOmer is about, what the story of the Mekalah is about, what I'd really like to spend the predominant amount of the shiur is to understand what Sfiras HaOmer is about in general. And once we have an understanding of what Sfiras HaOmer, the whole Omer count, is about, so then we can have an understanding of Lag BaOmer and the Mekalel and the lessons we can draw and derive for our lives. You know, when we take a look at this Omer period, this 49-day count period, we find very interestingly that we're very careful about what we should not do during the Omer, right? No, we don't cut one's hair, and we don't go to simchas, and we don't listen to live music. And there's certain halachas of avelus, of mourning, that we're careful about during this period of time. But my friends, the bigger and much larger question is that Judaism, contrary to what many people think, is not only about don't do, right? Shabbos is about don't touch this, don't do that. It's very much about what you do do. It's very much about the positive, the kum va'afe, what we should be doing. So the question we need to ask ourselves is, well, what is Sfiras HaOmer about? Is it only about not? Is it only about, well, we remember the 24,000 students Rabbi Akiva that died during this time? But what is the proactive approach during Sfira? And we know that we stand every night, whether we say a blessing, we don't say a blessing, we count Sfira. And it's brought down in the Sfarim that you should count a couple of times during the day. But what does it mean just to count? So I counted tonight. So now I'm finished. That's all the positive, proactive things I need to do for Sfiras HaOmer. That's it. Obviously, there has to be more. because we know it's written in the Sfarim that the 50 days correspond to almost each day for a week of the year. There are 52 weeks in the year. And that each day has the ability to be metaking, to rectify at some Kabbalistic level a week. Every day has a certain power to it. We need to be able to understand how we can tap into what the energy of Sfirat Omer is about. And obviously, as we say it every shiur, there is a tremendous amount that can be said, many approaches that can be taken, and we're just going to be able to look at perhaps one approach tonight and be able to gain a deeper understanding, a deeper glimpse. What is Sfirat HaOmer about? So I'd like to share an essay from the Sefer Ma'arche Leib by Rav Moshe Schwab, who was the Rosh Yeshiva of Gateshead in England. And he points out, and it's a fascinating insight. At times we can read verses and we know them, but until we really read them so carefully and see the nuances, do we really come to appreciate the depth of what these verses are teaching us. And here's an example. Let's take a look. Again, this week's Parashah of Emor, about the mitzvah of Sfirat HaOmer, source 4. You shall count for yourselves from the morrow of the rest day. Usfartem lachem mimacharat ha-shabbat. And we know our rabbis tell us that mimacharat ha-shabbat is a reference to the holiday of Pesach. So we begin to count from the day after the first day of Pesach. In simple English, from the second day of Pesach. From the day when you bring the Omer of the waving. How is this second day of Pesach marked? It's marked by the Korban Omer, the Vas Omer. And you'll count 7 weeks, they shall be complete. Sheva Shabbatos Tamima. So this verse 15, is teaching us that the count is the count of 7 weeks, and the count emanates, its source is Pesach, the source is Avos HaOmer, it's the bringing of the sacrifice. That's the first verse. Then we move to verse 16. Until when do we count? Until the morrow of the 7th week you shall count. We count on Mimacharat HaShabbat HaShvi'i, to the 7th week. We count until Shavuot. And now we count 50 days. And you shall offer a new meal offering to God, to Hashem. So in this verse, we're not focusing in on Pesach, we're focusing in on Shavuot. We're not focusing in on the 7 weeks, the Sheva Shabbatos Tamimos, we're focusing in on the concept of days, of Chamishim Yom, of 50 days. And we're not focusing in on the Havas HaOmer, that barley sacrifice that was brought, but we're focusing in on the Mincha Chadasha, the new meal offering, which we know contained chametz, which was never brought on the altar on this special occasion. So the count, my friends, is the same count, but it's two different counts. From Pesach toward Shavuos, weeks versus days, Omer versus Mincha Chadasha. Darsheni, it's begging us to understand. And we're very well aware, my friends, that when we count utilizing both the concept of weeks and days, right? It's 3 weeks and 3 days, whatever it is, to the Omer. We utilize both the weeks and the days. We need to understand much on a much more deeper level what is the significance of both. So Rav Schwab in the Ma'arche Leib explains the following, source 5. V'niftach be'inyan Sfirat HaShavuos. Let's begin with what the concept of weeks are about. A week is 7 days, and we know the Maharal, a very famous concept, that 7 is merames to derech hateva, to the natural world. The world was created in 6 work days, and the 7th day being a rest day to God. Therefore, when we're speaking about the concept of Shavua, the concept of week, the concept of 7, we're talking about the concept of derech hateva,
the way of the natural world. And what is our avodas, or six, bekesher l'derech hateva? It's a bitachon and emuna and hashkacha pratis al hateva. What is our mindset when we're counting weeks is the understanding and the being able to make this part and parcel of our lives, that God is sholeh, that God controls the natural order, that there's hashkacha pratis, there's divine providence over this natural order. And my friends, from where did we learn? Where was our major school to teach us this concept that God is very much involved in the derech halichos olam, in the ways of this world, in hashkacha prati? That's the story of Pesach. And that's why the count of the weeks emanates, starts in macharat ha-shabbat, from the day of Pesach, from the day after Pesach. Because from Pesach we draw that inspiration and that knowledge that God is the master of the week, which means that God is the master of the world of nature, and God is the master of our lives. And that's why the first of the Ten Commandments, he continues in 6, is not the God who created the world. The nations of the world also have an understanding that God created the world. No, it's a God who's intimately involved in my life. Asher Otseficha Me'eretz Yitzrayim, who took me out of Egypt, Mibeis Avadim, from the house of slavery. And he quotes his Mashkiach in 7. It's a beautiful pshat in Hallel and Tehillim, where the pasuk says, Ram al kol goyim Hashem, al shamayim kvodo. In reference to the nations, it speaks about al shamayim kvodo, on the heavens are his glory. But when it speaks about the Jewish people, it says, Mi kashem elokeinu, who is like Hashem our God, hamagbi lashavet hamashpili lerod, Shamayim Uvaharetz, God who's intimately involved in both the Shamayim and Aretz, the heavens and the earth. And he continues by saying in sources 8 through 10 that if we would live with this mindset in life, the idea that God controls the natural order of life, then so many worries of our lives would be removed from us. And we'd be able to live a life understanding that God is in control. Obviously we need hishtadlus, and obviously we need tefillah. But he speaks about the concept that we put in our effort, in our financial endeavors, and then we turn it over to God. God, you're going to decide whether this project is going to be financially viable or not. We eat, and God, we hope that you're going to allow this food to satiate us. We take medicine, we go to a doctor, but you, God, are the Rofe Kobasar. You're the one who heals all flesh. And we need to have that understanding. Part of our challenge in life, and it's a problem that we have, is that we can't let go. We always need to be in control. When we're counting weeks of Sfiras HaOmer, what it is saying to us on a much deeper level is let go. Is understand on the next page in 11 that Ein Adam Nokeif Etzba'o Milamata Elim Kein Machrizim Alav Milamala. Every movement of the hand is something that's decreed already in heaven. Ein Adam Nokeif B'mash Muchan L'Chaveiro Afilu K'malo Neima. That which your friend gets is what your friend deserves. That's what life is about. Everything is tailor-made down to the finest detail. There are no mistakes, my friends. And that's how the Ber Yosef of Yosef Salant in 12, 13, and 15 explains why the first time the Jewish people brought the Korban HaOmer, this Omer sacrifice, was the day that the man stopped, that they ate mitzvot ha'aretz, from the wheat of the land. Because it wanted to make an equation that when you bring the Avas HaOmer, when you count the Omer, keep in mind the Omer LaGugolet, the amount, the Omer that the Jewish people ate in regard to the man. Because that's the message of the man. Echad HaMarbev, Echad HaMamit, you took too much, you took too little. You got exactly what God wants you to have. when you live this understanding. And again, as I mentioned, obviously there's room for tefillah, but right now where I am in life is what God wants me to be, and I need to appreciate that. I need to understand that, and I need to be able to say I let God be in control. I'll tell you, my friends, I had it this morning. I take the train to Yerushalayim, and it cuts it close. The train gets in at 10:05. My first class is 10:15, and it's a 5-minute taxi ride. So you can do the math. I leave myself very little leeway. And the train was a half hour late this morning. That's a major amount of time. So normally my personality is to be anxious, like a half hour late. You imagine how late I'm going to be for class, and that. You let go. I can't do anything about it. There's no way I can bring that train closer. There's no way I can bring the train faster. There's no way I can fly to Yerushalayim. It just can't happen. So now that's the reality. Let go. And you know what happens when you let go? You live a much more peaceful life. You understand. Whether I understand the reason it was late, I don't understand the reason it was late. It's out of my hands. Relax. As I would say in L.A., you chill a little bit. It's okay for you too. Now we understand, my friends. The pshat in the pasuk, and it's such a deep pshat, my friends. Let's learn it together in Source 14. Usartem lachem, we count miyom haviyachem et omer tnufa, when we bring this korban haomer. And what was the korban haomer from? It was from saora, from barley, a lowly type, you know, not the best wheat. You know, wheat's better. It's an animal food. And how much do I bring? Shi'ur katan shal siri taifai. Bring a very little bit. What does this mean? Here goes asterisk. Ze hora'at korban ze. What this korban is teaching me. Ki ein biyad hadam litein l'ribono sholam mu'ma. You can't give God anything. Katan hu adam. You know what, my friends? Man, people are very small. V'ktanahi minchato, and his sacrifice is very small. When it comes to Shavuot, when it comes to the Shavuot, the weeks, when I'm counting from Pesach, Pesach represents understanding and inculcating in my life God's in control of nature. And I'm counting 7 weeks, and weeks is synonymous with the natural world. What do I bring from? Where do I count? I bring from the Havas HaOmer this korban, which is a minuscule korban. It's the mindset, my friend, that in the physical world I do very little. It's not kochi v'otzim yadi. It's not look how strong I am. I'm a nobody. I do my shtavos. I bring a little bit of barley, but that's it. God does the rest. Recognizes, understand this. He runs the world. That's message of the Omer. That's the positive aspect of what we should be thinking about during the Sfiras Omer, of letting go, of not being so jealous, of being able to appreciate what I have, of being able to recognize that God runs the world, what's best for me. But my friends, that's only one pasuk. But there's another pasuk that describes Sfiras HaOmer. And that's the next pasuk that we count towards Shavuos, and we count 50 days. What is this about? So let's learn together, continuing in the Marchelei 16. The Chol Zeh Shamarnu, all that we've been saying until now, Hu Benogei LeGuf HaAdam, is relevant to the physical aspect of a person. Aval b'nogeya l'neshama. When it comes to the spiritual aspect, harezeh hafuch min hakatzeh el hakatzeh. We are now moving a total 360 degrees, because b'koach nishmato shel ha'adam limshol b'tachtonim v'limshol b'elyonim. When it comes to the spiritual aspect of life, we have and we wield a tremendous amount of control. Kol kiyum habriya tluya b'avodas haneshama shel ha'adam. The whole world rests on our spiritual avoda, on our spiritual service to God. Rabbi Wilson, in Wellsprings of Faith describes so poignantly in 17 that every one of a person's actions in this world has an effect on the higher spiritual worlds. And the words of the Zohar, an awakening from below leads to an awakening above. In fact, there's a kind of symmetry between an act in this world and the response it evokes in the higher worlds. When a person gives tzedakah, for example, charity, that small deed of benevolence will activate the infinitely greater powers of God's benevolence and mercy in the worlds above. Just as the act of tzedakah in this world gives sustenance to a needy person, so too the heavenly response it engenders will be a flow of divine sustenance to our world, a world which is also needy in the sense that its existence depends completely on God. And the Baal Shem Tov explains very beautifully that the Jewish soul itself extends to those worlds. Every Jew is like a ladder in Yaakov's dream. Although his feet are standing upon the earth, his head reaches the highest heavens. And that's Pshat in 18 of the Mishnah Perkei Avos that says, Da ma l'mala mimcha, which is usually translated, know what is above you, i.e. HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But on a deeper level, if you want to know what is happening, says the Baal Shem Tov, in the worlds above, if you want to know how much Hashem is going to relate to you, Da ma l'mala, you want to know what's going on, l'mala above you, mimcha. You can know it by examining yourself. Hashem will respond to you in a way that mirrors your own actions and emotions. Life is very much dependent on us. And that's the model in 19, that Braisa in Nida that we're familiar with, where the angel takes this little embryo and says, God, tell me, is it going to be strong or weak, wise or foolish? And it asks many questions, rich or poor. And that's all predetermined. That's the Shavuot. That's the weeks. But what is not predetermined is Sadik V'Rasha. Hakol Bidei Shamayim Chutz Meira Shamayim. To be wicked or righteous, everything's in the hands of heaven except fear of heaven. That's our choice. U'mitoch Otan Nekudat HaChutzes Marcheleim. From that point, Olim V'Somchim Kol Hanagot HaOlam Shem Tzluyos V'Maseh Adam. Everything then depends on us. The power that we have, the power that we have in every action that we do to impact the spiritual world all around the world is absolutely incredible. Now, my friends, if we understand this, if we understand the spiritual power inherent in every individual, so now we can gain a glimpse of perhaps on a certain level what is our avoda, what is our service, what is the mindset, what's the work during Sfiras HaOmer. And that, in a nutshell, what I'd like to develop now, based on the Sefer Sichos Bavarat Hashem Rav Meislish, is to be able for us to recognize the spiritual powerhouse that's found within us, to recognize who we are, to get to know the real us. And he speaks about the Sefer itself is geared to yeshiva students. So the examples that he gives are very relevant to them. But obviously, my friends, the message is so relevant to all of our lives. He speaks about there are two types of yeyush. Yeyush means to give up, to, you know, just like almost throw up your hands. What can I do? That is found in a yeshiva bachur. He says one is when you're trying to learn and it's not going your way. And you try to dive in, it's not going your way. And moving it into a little bit more broader examples that might affect our lives, we want to do acts of chesed, we want to learn ourselves, we want to dive in better, and it's just not going anywhere. So we just throw up our hands and say, you know, I'm just frustrated. I just can't get anywhere. That's one type of yeyush. But then there's another type of frustration. And my friends, this second frustration is far more dangerous. And that is when everything in 20 is going exactly the way you want it to. You want to be successful in learning? You're successful. You want to be successful in kavana, in intent, in davening? You're doing great. You want to have good mitos? You're working on your mitos. You want to do acts of chesed? People are looking up to you. Everything's great. So it sounds great. What's the problem? Here's the problem. At that point in time, what do you say to yourself? I've reached it. I'm here. Let me plateau out. Let me just, you know, continue, you know, sailing along. And when you reach that point of you say, my learning's going well, my davening's going well, my midos are going well, my sukkah projects are going well, then you're not recognizing the asterisks in 20 that God has given every single person kishronos niflos, tremendous abilities, kochos hanefesh gedolim v'rechavim, tremendous, tremendous potential. And it's our challenge to be able to utilize this to its fullest. And never to say, I've reached it, I'm here. But always to ask ourselves, how can I push myself further? The next page, Rav Hirsch, 19 letters, 24. Our purpose in life, therefore, is not the acquisition of possessions. We should not measure our achievement in life by the volume of outer or inner treasures that we accumulate. Our life's mission is concerned with what we become, what we make of ourselves, and what we give, not what we get. We should measure our attainments by the extent to which we fulfill God's will with the help of our outer and inner acquisition, utilizing every single one, small or large, for truly... people to never stop. See, when things aren't going well, so I push myself. Okay, maybe I'll try a little harder. But when things are going great, so then we don't push ourselves. Then we don't say to ourselves, but maybe there's more in me that I'm not tapping into. Maybe there are different aspects of life that I've never even dreamt of developing. And I never look inside myself to see, what are these things? Can I discover new parts of self? Do I try to open up new vistas of who I am and what I can become, and be able then to utilize those aspects of self and integrate them in the totality of who I am and make myself a much more complete person? That's our challenge. It's a challenge in 23 of every generation. A person has to see themselves as if they left Egypt. Egypt, Mitzrayim, is a Mitzar, is a narrow straits. Every single person has to ask themselves, am I living life with like blinders on? I'm in a certain comfort zone. I know what's good. I know what's worked. So let's continue this way. And I can continue this way for 120 years. And then I can get up to heaven. And I can say, wow, have I missed the boat? That famous story that we all know of the Netziv, who hears his parents as a 10-year-old boy saying, you know, the Malamed says he's just not cut out for learning. Let's make him into a tradesman. He'll be a tailor. And the Netziv, who made a party when he finished his first major work. And people asked him, why'd you make this party? He said, because if I didn't overhear my parents' conversation, and I didn't go into their room and beg and cry and say, give me another chance, I would have been a wonderful tailor. And I would have done my job honestly. And I would have, you know, been kovei itzim l'Torah, you know, set aside times for learning and been on davening, etc. And I would have gone up to heaven and they would have opened up libraries of books that I could have written. And I would say to them, me? I was a good tailor. What do you want from me? An honest tailor. And they would have said, you missed the boat. Your job wasn't to be a tailor. Your job was to write these svarim. Your job was to be Rosh Yeshiva. It's very scary, my friends. It's very scary. Because there's a tremendous amount of potential. If we look in the mirror honestly with ourselves, if we use friends to help us, we use mentors to help us to tap into what is it about me. Rabbi Akiva, this is the time of Sfiras Omer. Age 40. You can never say, you know, what do you want from me? I'm too old. Age 40. Began to open up those wellsprings that were found within him. The pasuk in 25 of Mishle at the asterisk, Im tivakshena kakesef, if you search it out like money, ukimat monim techapesna, and like treasures you search it out, az tavin yirat Hashem v'dat elukim timsa, then you will understand the fear of God and you will know God. You will find the knowledge of God. Explains the Rav Meislish, Matmonim, treasures, is really two words, Mem Tet Monim, the 49 count. Matmonim, Mem Tet Monim. It's the count of the 49 days of Sfira. It's the count that during Sfira Sa'omer to take time for Hispodidus, take time for introspection. And then the end of the pasuk, V'dat Elokim Timsa, then you will find knowledge of God. It's a bechina of metzia. Shelo yamin l'mashizacha v'lamashayat tamun etzlo kol hazman. Metzia in Talmudic literature is something not that you had to search for, it was found, it was there. You just had to discover it almost. You're not finding something new, my friends. You're uncovering the depth of who you are, of what your life is about. That is the challenge of Sfira Sa'omer. Mat Monim, Mem Tet Monim. That when I count Sfira Sa'omer, I use this as a barometer of a time of introspection to test out, how can I break out of Mitzrayim? How can I leave Egypt? Am I embarking to receive the Torah? How can I become a greater and more fuller and embrace the opportunities of whom I can really become? He tells a beautiful maisa of Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, who went to visit his uncle in the Ravadik Yeshiva. And he asked his uncle, you know, went to the Beis Medrash, he says, you know, tell me, which is the greatest masmid? Which boy learned the most intensely? His uncle pointed out a certain boy. And which boy has the greatest bakiyas, and which boy has the greatest harifos? And he asked the Rosh Yeshiva about different qualities in learning. And the Rosh Yeshiva pointed out, his uncle pointed out different boys. And then Rav Chaim Shulevitz asked his uncle, now tell me, who's the best boy in the yeshiva? Like, who's really, you know, there? And he pointed to one boy in the corner. Chaim Shulevitz says, but you know, when I ask you who is the smartest and who was, you know, this and that, you never pointed to that boy. He didn't have any of the qualities that I asked. So explains his uncle, he says, you know what quality this young boy has? He has the quality called being a mevakesh. Someone who searches out. Someone who seeks. Someone, my friends, and this is the key phrase, who's not complacent. And that young man, my friends, became later known as a Stipler Gaon, a Gaon Bisrael. Because what quality did he have? He had the quality of being a Mevakesh. He had the quality of searching out. The quality of looking and not being satisfied with where he's at. And this is the concept of why, on the first level, we count weeks. When we're talking about the spiritual powerhouse that's found within a person, we're talking about discovering and uncovering the matmonim, the hidden treasures found within us. So then we're not talking about the concept of weeks. We're talking about the concept of days. We count 50 days towards Shavuos. Shavuos being our spiritual mark. Pesach being the Olam HaTeva, the physical world. Shavuos being the Kabbalah HaTorah, the receiving of the Torah, the spiritual aspect. Towards Shavuos, we mark it by days. The concept in 26 of Marchei Lev of Avram Avinu, Zohar tells us on the verse, and Avram was zaking baba yomim. He was old and coming of days, that he was able to take each and every day and say, I've used it to its utmost in the service of God. Once again, Rev Wolfson, Wellsprings of Faith. Such a beautiful piece. Time is even more than that. It is what a canvas is to a painter. For time is a medium that records with infinite sensitivity everything we do and everything we are. According to the Zohar, on every day of a person's life, a new day, quote-unquote, comes down to him from heaven. Right? Pasuk of Chadashim Levikarim Rablam Urasecha. Every day is new. That day is like a blank sheet of parchment. And whatever person does is inscribed upon that day. Then, as the day ends, it goes back up to heaven, and a new day comes down. And that's why Chazal tell us that before we go to sleep at night, we say the Shema, and we repent for any sins. As long as the day is still with us, it is relatively easy to do tshuva for those sins. While the transcript of the day is in our hands, so to speak, it's not difficult to erase and amend whatever has to be corrected. Once the day departs, however, it's harder to bring it back and to correct the record. At the end of a week, it's Erev Shabbos. At the end of the month, it's Yom Kippur Katan. At the end of the year, it's Elul and Rosh Hashanah. This is the power of a day. A day is a lifetime. A day is infinite potential. A day will never come back to us. We have so much that we can accomplish in any single day. Look at it as Hayomi Mikolo Tishmo. Not about yesterday, not about tomorrow. If you were told you have one day, this is your day to live a life, can you imagine, my friends, how we would live this life? That's the sensitivity, that's the creativity, and that is the hislavos, the passion that we need to invest in every day. When we count Spirus HaOmer and we count 50 days, we're counting much more than, you know, today is 22nd day of the Omer. No, that's so superficial. I'm counting days to teach me the power of the day, the sensitivity of what I can accomplish in a day, what I can create in a day, the awareness that if I've messed up today, let me be aware of it as soon as I go to sleep so I can change that transcript. I go through my day and I say, you know what? I was a little harsh to so-and-so. I was a little bit too whatever with somebody else. You know, let me call them tomorrow. I have the ability to work with and appreciate the day. Continuing on the next page in 32, each person creates the days of his life one at a time. They constitute a faithful record of his life, an autobiography inscribed by his own actions. All of an individual's spiritual accomplishments are contained within his days. A lifetime of mitzvos and meisim tovim, every word of Torah and prayer, are all found in each and every one of these days. And that's why, what do we bring on Shavuos? We bring a mincha chadasha. We bring chametz. Because when I've really, really created days, so then it's a spiritual powerhouse. Then I can bring the gaiva, the pride of look at what I've accomplished. By weeks, it's a small sacrifice. I'm not in control. By days, by spiritual import, when I'm counting toward Shavuos, so then I can bring a mincha chadasha. Then I can say, look what I've created. And that's why on this level, says the Maharshi Lev, we count backwards, so to speak, because I'm counting on what I've created to be mekabel the Torah, Amamad Har Sinai, to be able to appreciate Shavuos. I need to have first and foremost worked on myself to become a spiritual container, a container, an individual who's sensitive to growth, an individual who wants to change, an individual who wants to embrace Torah, an individual who wants to embrace becoming a better and greater person. And once I've done that, so then I'm ready to stand on Mamad Har Sinai. And I'll just share with you, my friend, the story. I know the hour is late, we have a bit more to go. That I just heard yesterday. A friend of mine told me the story where they had their mother over on Sukkot at their house. And a certain guest, they had seminary students over, 18-year-olds, one of their guests, their button fell off their sweater. And it fell off in the sukkah. So when Yontif was over, so the family was looking for this little white button to give back to this student. And they couldn't find the button. So this woman says, okay, we have to go through the garbage and we have to take apart the sukkah until we find this button. And her mother is standing on the side saying, this is bizarre and absurd and crazy. It's a little button. For crying out loud, just give her another button. Like, how, to what extent do you need to go? And she voiced her opinion about the way she felt, the extent this family was looking for this button. That was sukkahs. Then yesterday, the mother calls up this friend of mine and says, I have to tell you. Now, this is 7 months later almost. Yeah, my friends? She says, I have to tell you a story. She says, I was taking a class somewhere, and there was coffee break between the classes. So I went to the machine, and I put my money in to get out a coffee. And the change was supposed to be a half a shekel coin. And pump comes out of the machine, 2 half-a-shekel coins. So she got more than she, you know, was supposed to. So she said, my immediate reaction was, what's a half a shekel? What's the big deal? A half a shekel, and put it in my pocket. And then she said to herself, and this is what she told her daughter, and then I said, I remember to what extent you went to look for that button for that girl. I said, the least I could do was to look for the person who bought the coffee before me, who's half a shekel that it belonged to. And that's what I did. I went around looking for people who bought the coffee, and I gave the person back the change. It's an incredible story on many levels. But one of the things that impressed me about this story, my friend, is here is an individual, a woman who's close to 70 years old, and she is a person who's growing. A person who can take a story that she didn't even agree with, my friend, but saw the concept of returning something lost and said, you know what, let me integrate that into who I am. And when it had an opportunity of extending herself beyond, did so in order to return that half a shekel. That's Sfiras HaOmer. That's making your days count. That's making yourself, in the language of our rabbis, a kli kibul, a vessel to receive, to be able to stand a Mama Har Sinai. Now, with all of this in mind, we can now appreciate what Lag BaOmer is about. In order to be successful in such an endeavor of discovering self, of working on self, of never being complacent and apathetic, what we need to appreciate and realize, it's an axiom which is known, but we don't develop enough within us. In Source 39, Rav Wolbit, of Shari Avoda, Miyuchas Rabbeinu Yonah, HaPetach HaRishon Hu, Sheyeda HaIsh HaOved Erech HaTzmo, a person has to recognize his value, V'yakir Ma'alato Ma'alat Avotav V'gadlutam V'chashivutam V'chibatam Eitzal Bar Yisbarach, and how precious and special we are. If you realize how precious and special every individual is, so then you're ready to say, let me make the most of myself. A person who has no self-esteem and no sense of self-worth, there's nothing pushing them to develop themselves further. Lag BaOmer, as the Shemi Shmuel points out, begins the final third of Sfiras HaOmer. It begins the third where you feel the sense of the light of Shavuos entering into your midst. And you may be sleeping the entire Sfiras HaOmer like a robot. You stand up and you count and you go back into your life and you don't think about pushing yourself and you don't think about developing yourself. The last third, the Lev Tov, the first 32 days, the heart, the last 17 days, Tov, the 32 and 17, 49, beginning of the last 17 days, the Lev, turning into the Tov, is Lag BaOmer. It's a time that we have that deep spiritual awakening of stop. You want to enter into Shavuos, re-enter relationship with God? Do you know yourself? Do you appreciate yourself? And that's the essence of Life Ba'omer. And this, my friends, very briefly, is what the whole story, I'll do it outside Rav Wolfson 40, 41 through 45, the whole story of the Mekalel is about. This individual, who many people say that until before Mamon Har Sinai, the fact that you were Jewish goes after the father, not after the mother, was not Jewish. His mother was Jewish, his father was not. He likes to look at the Lechem HaPanim and says, this is Judaism? This is the bread that you bring on the altar? It's stale bread. What does this mean on a much deeper level? He's making a very important philosophical comment about Jews. You know, there are Jews who are connected to God. We call them freshly baked Jews. Like, they get high on Shabbos. They get high on festivals. They get high saying brachos. And there are some Jews who are stale. And those stale Jews no longer have a connection to God. It's Haman. Yeshno Amechad, Yashnu Amechad. And Haman, in fact, the Gemara darshins out his name, Memuchan, is about the Hachana of the Lechem HaPanim. That Haman is connected to this concept of Lechem HaPanim. Where Haman's also saying, these people have lost it. They're so detached from their roots. And the response is no. 9 days later, it's as fresh and beloved to God as the day it was baked. The Lechem HaPanim was brought out on the festivals for the people to say, look how much God loves you. And likewise, planting his tent in Dan. Dan was the lowlife of the Shvatim. He's saying, Palta Ma'anan, the Anans kick you out. You know, you're nobody. I can attach myself to you. You've lost that connection to God. And the answer of the Beis Din of the court of Moshe Rabbeinu is wrong. A Jew is always a Jew and is always connected to God. Parshat Emor is always read around Lag BaOmer because this is the message of Lag BaOmer. The message of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, who revealed the Pnimius HaTorah. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, who was able to explain the secrets on every single letter of the Torah. And we know that every Jew is connected to a letter of the Torah. Therefore, every Jew has secrets to him. Every Jew has Pnimius to him, has depth to him, to sometimes the extent that he himself is not aware of it. And that's why Rabbi Akiva's students stopped dying on Lag BaOmer. Because the problem Rabbi Akiva's students, at least on a superficial level, was they didn't respect each other enough. But Lag BaOmer is teaching us this fundamental lesson that every person has chashivus, has importance. Every person has sodos. Every person has depth to them. Every single person needs to recognize that they are bani lamakom. Every Jew is connected to God. And that's why Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is even for the Pchutim, even for those who seem to be so disconnected, the Lechem HaPanim, those who are not fresh bread are still fresh. It's a story of the Ner Tami, which is brought before that. There's an eternal lamp found within every Jew. And that's why Alekach V'Alibov notes so beautifully, so powerfully, that the concept of how the Gemara and Brachos speaks about is a reference, the glory to the Beis HaMikdash. And we know that the way this it works is that it's 7 by 7, that each one of these emanations are coupled with a major emanation of the week. So it's Gvura Shebahod, Chesed Shebahod, Netzach Shebahod. Lag BaOmer is Hod Shebahod. If Hod is the Beis HaMikdash of 47, Hod Shebahod is the Kodesh Kedoshim, is the holiest place. And as the Arizal explains to us, there are 10 levels of holiness in Eretz Yisrael, which correspond to the 10 level of depths that are found in every person. Hence, during the Aseret Yemei Tshuva, the 10 days of repentance, we say every day the Shira Malos Mimamakim, from the depths. Every day of the 10 days we say this, we enter into the deeper parts of self, till on the 10th day we enter into our Kodesh Kedoshim. The 10th day of which is Yom Kippur, we enter into the deepest part of self. When the Kohen Gadol enters into the Holy of Holies in place, It's only with the power of the individual Jew who is walking into the Holy of Holies of the introspection of self found within him. And that's why, as the Sichot Yitzchak notes in 49, that there is a koach of Yom Kippur. There's an aura of Yom Kippur that is found on Lag BaOmer. It's the Midah of Aaron. Aaron, the high priest who enters into the Holy of Holies. Lag BaOmer is our ability to be able to reveal the secret of self. It's a day of introspection to stop, get off the merry-go-round, and be able to focus in on who am I really? What is life about? You know, my friends, to a certain degree, it's without the pressure of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and Tshuva. It's an honest look into, if I am so beloved to God, where am I? What am I doing with myself? No matter where I am holding in my relationship with God. And that's why Alecha Falibov notes in 50, it's not by accident, that the 7 weeks curse and the 7 emanations, the 7 mitos, correspond to the 7 meaning, the 7 species of Israel is prayed for. And we know, if we count, Eretz, Chita is 1, Sarah is 2, Geffen is 3, Teina is 4. The 5th week, the week of Lag BaOmer, the week of Halud, is Rimon. Rimon are the same letters mixed up of Meron, the place where Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai is buried. The Rimon is a pasuk that we learned Erev Yom Kippur in Shir HaShirim, that the Medrash says, Afilu Reikonim Shabachem Meleim Mitzvos Kerimon. Even the most empty ones among the Jewish people are filled with mitzvot like a rimon. The rimon is our attachment to God. This is the challenge of Lag BaOmer. These are the bonfires on the next page, 51 through 54, the bonfires of Lag BaOmer. The fires, samchuni bashishot, surround me with your fires, as it says in Shir HaShirim. It's a fire of passion and love. Looking at those bonfires is an opportunity to reflect within, whether we have physical bonfires in front of us, or we can imagine the emotional bonfire, that like BaOmer is a time to awaken within us passion for God, and to awaken within us the feeling of God's passion for us. That was the gift Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai gave us. The gift of recognizing how beloved we are to God and how much this relationship is a reciprocal relationship. If we wake up in the morning, my friends, and say, wow, God's invested in me. God loves me. God takes care of me. It infuses within me this passion to respond. What am I going to do for you, God? How am I going to respond? And therefore, Lag BaOmer is a time of tremendous love. It's a time of preparation for Shavuos. It's the intensity of love. It's the sodos. It's the mimamakim. It's the depth. And it's a time of hamtakas hadinim, the sweetening of judgment, because it's a time of such intense love. This beautiful idea of the Kushnitzer Magi, which we can appreciate based on our learning Pesach time. In 55, where the Kushnitzer Magi speaks about, two more points and then we'll just summarize and close the Mirtashe, my friends. The Kushnitzer Magi speaks about that the first 3 weeks of this of Sfiras HaOmer correspond to the 3 matzos. Right? There's an Indian, in fact, my friends, to eat every shal shudas matzah between Pesach and Shavuos. The last 4 weeks correspond to the 4 cups of wine. So if we do the math together, my friends, the 5th week is therefore the 2nd cup of wine. And we learned that Moskin Lo Kosheni, we pour a 2nd cup. The Kan HaBen Shoel. And here the child asks. Technically, Manishtana. Deeper levels we learned, and here the child asks God. It's a time of request. It's a time of tefillah. And the 2nd cup of wine ends with the bracha of Ga Yisrael, the bracha of redemption. The week of Hod, the week of the 2nd cup of wine, is the week of redemption. It's the week of tefillah, of Pesach Sheni, of Lag BaOmer, of the time to connect with God, to recognize that all are tefillos on Lag BaOmer, wherever you are, whether you feel Lag BaOmer or you don't, whether you're in Meron or you're not, whether you see bonfires or you don't, whether you go out to the fields or you don't, wherever you are, the tefillos of Lag BaOmer are tefillos that are powerful tefillos, because there's love in the air. There's hamtakas hadinim. There's a sweetening of judgment in the air. And clearly, as the Lekach Valibub notes in 57, Va'ikar talui shi'amin ha'adam begodel koach hazmanim. We have to believe in the power of the time. The pasuk, the Sfasemes explains, Va'ya emunat yitcha chosen yeshuos. To the extent that you believe in the time, to that extent, that there will be yeshuos, there'll be salvations. If we walk into Lag BaOmer recognizing its inherent power, and I want to tap into the salvations to that extent, our tefillos will be answered. And I don't think it's by accident, my friends, in 58, that the Medrash brings down in specifically the name of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. If Yisrael had been lacking even one person, the divine presence would not have been revealed to them at the giving of the Torah. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's model and motto is the importance of every single Jew. Our job during Sfiras HaOmer is to recognize the importance in each and every one of us. And we recognize that importance, we recognize that we need to push ourselves more. We need to learn from life, we need to develop, we need to grow, we need to be mevakeish. We can't be so apathetic. We need to ask ourselves, am I pushing myself, am I developing myself to the best of my ability? And therefore, my friends, in conclusion, when we count Sfiras HaOmer, we count the weeks and the days. We recognize Anochi Afar, for I'm nothing. God runs the world. I also recognize Bishvili Nivra Olam, the world is dependent on me. And when I recognize how much spiritually, the 50 days, the world is dependent on me, then it behooves me to get to know who I am for the short time that we're here in this world, and to make the most of who I am, that I don't have that busha, that embarrassment of getting up to heaven to see what I could have become and I've never accomplished. Lag BaOmer is the time to focus in on accessing. There's the time demands the accessing. It helps us. The depth, the mimamakim, the 10th level, the ho chibaho, the kardesh kadashim, what I'm really about. A day for introspection, a day to daven. Hashem, help me understand this. A day of tefillah, a day of connection to God, a day of bonfires, a day of this intimate love. And my friends, I end with a blessing that we should all be able to, during Sfiras HaOmer, tap into this incredible potential that we have. To feel on some level the tremendous love we have for God and God's love for us. And when we feel this and tap into this, then we'll be able to really make every single day count and make them the tmimos, the complete days that Sfiras HaOmer is supposed to be, which will then have an effect on the entire year.